The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast, Dr. Taz.
Superwoman Wellness.
Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to Superwoman Wellness, where on every episode of this show, we are together going to uncover the secrets to being superpowered and being the superwoman you are meant to be. Joining me today is Elise Muselis. Elise is a certified eating psychology and nutrition expert. She is creator of the Food Story platform and host of the podcast, Once Upon a Food Story. As an author, speaker, and health coach, Elise's mission is to empower women to create a healthier relationship with food and their bodies by changing what's on their plate and what's in their minds. Elise's newly launched podcast, Once Upon a Food Story, shares the food stories of leading health experts such as Kimberly Snyder, Dr. Frank Lipman, Robin Youkilis, and more. Welcome to the show, Elise.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Taz. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're thrilled to have you on. And as a woman, and as a woman that sees a lot of patients that are also women, I know that trying to navigate this relationship between food and our bodies and our minds is an ongoing journey. Even as I know so much information today, I still feel like, you know, there are moments that I'm weak, moments that I'm strong. And so you say everybody has a food story. Talk to us about the concept of food stories and what that means for our health.
Okay. Well, you know, I'd love to talk about this. So a lot of you will think, well, I don't really have a food story. It's not really interesting. But our food story is multi-layered, and it's written over years and years. The way your mother talked about her body and what your father said about vegetables. It's like all the food you eat when you're celebrating and the food you eat when you're heartbroken. And I know this will sound familiar to you. It's knowing you should be eating X but eating Y instead. But then all those childhood experiences and memory-laden meals and like the foods that we've labeled good or bad along the way, they factor like into our life, and like along with the comments and the media and the people around you, we end up adopting all of that as our truth. And sometimes it's not exactly true to who we are. So when I talk about a food story, I also want to talk about that. And you mentioned this, that it's always evolving. You know, that it's not like when we talk about our relationship with food and we think it's so static, oh no, don't, let's not go there. It's so complicated. But with a story, you know, we have the power to constantly change it, you know, change it with our hormones, change it with the seasons, with our activity level. And it puts us in that position of feeling really in control of our destiny and our whole entire relationship with food and our body.
I love that philosophy. And that's something that really resonates with a lot of what I do, which is a lot of East-West medicine and merging different systems of medicine together. And I'm sure you know, but if you reflect back to Eastern systems of medicine, like Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine, it was very much about an evolving conversation with food. It was very much about what your particular role in life is and how food might be different for that role versus a different role or what the season is. And so I love that you're calling this a food story because people think that it's a static destination, like what's the best plan for me? And then they're done. So I love that analogy. So, you know, how do we start to understand our own personal food story and all the good and the bad and everything else that comes with it? How do we get to that honesty and that vulnerability?
And that's a really good question. And you use really, really great word choices because it is about being vulnerable and sometimes going to those uncomfortable places. So of course, you know, there are really positive memories and I don't want to forget about that, but most of us want to change something, you know, change something about our patterns or our habits. So I always, with my clients, we start with what is that unwanted health or eating challenge? And oftentimes when we go back to, well, where did it start? You know, where did it start? Did it start when your parents were getting a divorce, and oftentimes they can tie it to a particular time or time period in their lives. And that helps lift that veil of shame, you know, like, oh my gosh, no wonder I started the binge eating or I started the obsessive dieting or the, you know, whatever it is, counting the calories, because everything in my life at that point was out of control, but that's not my story anymore. So sometimes people have to go back, feel that pain, get uncomfortable, and do whatever they have to do to release it and realize that's not me, that's not my story. And it's very empowering to know why you have a certain behavior instead of just feel all that shame and embarrassment about it. So we usually start with that, like, where can you trace back these patterns and habits? And people are amazed by the connections, you know, that they're like, I didn't realize that that's why. I was always told to clean my plate. That's a one that might resonate with almost everybody, you know, from the starving children in China or India. And no wonder I always feel like I have to polish everything off because I was conditioned to believe that. But now I know, like, I can recreate leftovers in beautiful ways. I don't have to clean my plate.
Do you recommend people actually physically writing this stuff down? Like, do you just spend a few moments every morning, like, writing everything down? Is it a part of your meditation? You know, what is sort of the sort of how-to of trying to get to that point?
I think writing is really powerful because when you see it, it's, you know, it's also, there's so many different ways that you can think about it. And even just thinking about it, connecting back to that place might be enough for someone. But I had a client yesterday, for example, and she said that the writing was the release, like going back. She said, it's going to be a process, but that was she said, I felt like 100 pounds lighter just by writing down where that fear of mine came from. And it was something traumatic that happened to her in her childhood. And it stuck with her because she never processed it. I'm sure you probably deal with this with your patients when you have all that unprocessed information in your body, you know, it shows up in some way.
Absolutely. Yes, definitely. So how do you rewrite your food story once you understand that you have one and you find, you know, for, you know, anyone out there listening today who's thinking, okay, that's maybe why I grab potato chips when I'm stressed or I reach for chocolate on a, you know, bad moment or whatever it is, or you crave chicken noodle soup when we're sick, you know, whatever those memories and that food story is, you know, once you write it down and you have an understanding of it, I think this is the biggest question I get asked in practice all the time, maybe not just about food, but about just rewiring who you are in many different ways. How do you rewrite that story? How do you change it? And how do you make that change permanent, right? How do you make it to where it's lasting and not a New Year's Eve resolution or a birthday, you know, a birthday wish or something like that? How do you make that lasting change and connection?
That's such a good question. I think it really, first of all, has to start with the individual that they want the change. Because you could be, you know, the most skilled practitioner, medical doctor, whatever, and guide people in such a beautiful way. But if they're not willing to change, then the change isn't going to happen. So you have to first want that within. And then it's a lot is about connecting back to your body. You know, over the years, most of us have lost that connection. We're listening to the media or to the voices in our head that aren't really true to what our intuition is telling us. So it's getting back into that space of mindfulness, like slowing down, learning to like actually be present at the table and not be listening to I shouldn't, I should, you know, all the things that you're conditioned to think or I feel guilty or this is bad, whatever that may be. Quieting all those voices and really doing things that connect you back to your body so that you can make choices going forward from a place, from your intuition and a place of empowerment. And when you do that, you feel really connected and confident. You don't, there's no second guessing and there's a lot of the stress gets released. So I always have people, you know, I do a fun chocolate meditation just as a way to sit down and realize, what is it like to actually taste your food and not think about anything else except, wow, this food is amazing. It's creamy. It's, you know, whatever it may be, and to really be there. And when you start to, like, cooking has been a really big healing part of my journey. And I know that it is for so many other people, yoga or other sort of exercise that helps you feel connected back to who you are and more grounded. And that's the first stage of rewriting your story, because you can't rewrite it until you know how you feel, right? And how you feel in your body.
More with Dr. Taz coming up, but first I want to tell you about Sun Basket. Sun Basket delivers delicious meal kits right to your door, making healthy cooking easy and convenient for any busy lifestyle. Now, you know, mindful eating is an essential part of self-care, and every part of our life is enhanced when we eat nourishing, healthy meals. And with Sunbasket, you can enjoy delicious, mindful meals every night. Now, I know sometimes staying on track can be hard, but that's where Sunbasket comes in to make it easy to eat right. Sunbasket offers 18 weekly recipes, including paleo, gluten-free, vegetarian, vegan, pescatarian, and more, all delivered to your door. Sunbasket takes care of the details, so it's easier to take care of yourself. And did I mention Sunbasket contains organic produce and clean ingredients? Mm-hmm, that's right. Sunbasket works with the best farms and suppliers to bring you fresh organic produce and responsibly raised meats and seafood. And we want you to experience Sunbasket for yourself. Go to sunbasket.com/wholehealth today to learn more and get $35 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/wholehealth for $35 off. sunbasket.com/wholehealth. Now back to the Dr. Taz Show.
So I'm a big believer. I love to cook. It's not that I dislike it. I don't dislike being in the kitchen. But when I'm stressed and I have 50,000 things to do, cooking is the last thing I want to do, or probably not necessarily the best use of my time if you're trying to evaluate it, you know, purely in a granular sense. But there's just something very satisfying about choosing your food, holding your food, cutting it, chopping it. It can be meditative of sorts. And so, you know, it's so interesting to me that, you know, while food can be so healing, and even the preparation of food is such a primal instinct for all of us and gives us so much satisfaction, I think our culture, the way we run it today and the way many of us run our lives, it becomes so hard to do that. And I think that adds to this concept of what you're calling food noise, that when we're grabbing food or ordering food or Ubering food or whatever everyone's doing nowadays, you know, I think it adds to the food noise. There's not that innate satisfaction with it as much as something that maybe you've put your hands on and your energy into. How do we reconcile that? And then how do we, you know, maybe even explain to us what food noise is and how to dampen that?
Okay. So those are really great concepts. And also, it's, I mean, we have to be realistic. Not everyone has time. You know, you're a working mom, like you want to be with your kids. You don't want to have your back to them as you're chopping, you know, all the vegetables. But I do think that there's a happy medium, because there is something really satisfying about cooking for yourself or for your family and being really connected to your food. But we have to also be realistic. So one is, like, lower the expectations. You do not have to cook gourmet meals. Because you're cooking, like, cooking can be, you know, making a pot of quinoa, roasting vegetables, and, if you know, putting some sort of protein, whether it's plant-based or animal protein, and calling that dinner. Like, that's fine, you know, but we all put these high standards on ourselves, and then it becomes unrealistic, and then all of a sudden it's all or nothing. So we have to eliminate the extremes, you know, and those pressures that we put on ourselves. And if you can cook 2 to 3 nights a week, that's better than not cooking at all. Of course, there are lots of shortcuts too, but I think that's what you're saying. I feel like if people can, like, drop those ideals and say, oh, hey, I got dinner on the table a couple nights a week, or I brought home from lunch, you know, 3 days a week, and it really felt great. I saved money. I enjoyed my food more because I made it, you know, and that's where you start, you know, just by lowering, like, being realistic and having realistic expectations, and also prioritizing, like, what's important to you, right? Is it important to cook one night a week? Will that make you feel good? And for most people, the answer probably is yes, right? And yes, then action definitely inspires action.
Definitely. So I think that, you know, that is such an important part of our food equation, is understanding our food story, trying to rewrite that food story, understanding food noise. What other sources are there of food noise? Where else does food noise come from?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to ignore that. So food noise comes in many different forms, and we all hear it. So food noise can come, obviously, from the media. Now, I want to lump social media into that because that's such a huge part of so many of our lives. And, you know, you see these Instagram feeds, and you're like, oh, I want to do this because this influencer is doing it. So that's right. Part of food noise. Food noise actually can even come from experts, too. And it's not that, I mean, I love learning from the experts, but that doesn't mean it's gospel. Like we all are different. We process food differently. And so you have the true test is how a dietary theory or a particular superfood might feel for you. And, food noise also comes from, you know, listening to those stories of your friends, right? From other people. This has worked for me, or this is what I'm doing. You have to do this. And then it can come from ourselves. And that's what I was talking about at the beginning. You know, just all those years of, you know, conditioning yourself about good or bad, or, you know, that you don't have any willpower. You know, I can't eat this because then I'll, you know, gain weight, whatever it is, you know, that right. internal chatter that just makes it really challenging to listen to our bodies. So when we can learn to turn down the noise, it allows us to turn into ourselves. And I'm not saying that like the media or social media or the experts don't provide valuable information. They do. But we, at the end of the day, you have to be able to feel it, know it, you know, try it and without judgment, and then be able to say, yes, this is good for me or this is not. But you can't hear it with all the chatter and the external noise.
Gotcha. So that makes so much sense. You know, and then a lot of this is connected to our perception of our bodies. So between our food stories, food noise, and how we feel about our bodies, what advice do you have for women out there? I feel like that's a constant struggle, right? Like food is the enemy, food is the savior. So what do we do about that when it comes to our bodies and how we feel and what we're all walking around in?
That's such a great question, because there's so, you know, when many years ago, it was all about being skinny, you know, and then mm-hmm. now I think that the collective conversation has turned a little bit more to the whole body positivity movement and being strong, not skinny. People don't, like, diet is now a bad word, right? Because who diets anymore? But the truth is that, like, it's all about releasing the judgment. And I don't ever want to tell someone like, oh, you have to love yourself exactly how you are right now and not want to change. Sure, you do want to come from a place of love always, but it's okay to want to be better and change as long as your expectations are realistic. And I think it's more about the journey, getting there from a place of kindness and compassion and love. So it's fine. I mean, people do need to lose weight, you know, like some people, like for medical reasons, for, you know, for whatever, to feel better in their body. So I don't ever want to take that away from someone, but right. I just hope that they can get there in a gentler way. Does that make sense what I'm saying? So I don't, the conversation is like, oh, you have to love yourself no matter what. You do have to love right. yourself, but you can also want to be better. That's okay. You know, self-improvement's a good thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of celebration of, you know, your body as it is, your body as it stands. And I think all of that's great because it's no longer there's this one ideal of beauty. So I think that conversation has shifted, mm-hmm. which is amazing. We know that there are multiple layers and dimensions of beauty or to beauty. Body size no longer, I hope everyone thinks this too, but body size is no longer the defining definition of beauty. So that's huge progress made, you know, even within my like last 20 years that I can remember. So I think that's a win, yeah. You know, but I think like you're saying too, it doesn't mean, again, it's this idea that we're static, right? It's this idea that, okay, because we are accepting of ourselves, then there's no room for improvement. There's no room for change. There's no room for forward motion. We might not slip sometimes and actually have backward motion. There's no room for any of that fluidity. So I think that's what you're trying to say, is that just accept that that also is a part of the equation. And as we continue to redefine beauty and redefine health and continue to link those two things together, then I think that there's room for that at the table, right? Where, you know, this fluidity is going to always be there because beauty and health are so linked. They're so completely linked together. We no longer think of it as this one-dimensional picture in a magazine. So I love that idea. If you had to boil down kind of your entire philosophy from, you know, food stories and food noise to body positivity and understanding the links between all of them, and you had to give people, let's give the audience maybe 3 to 5 actionable steps, things that they can do now to begin to move this forward. How would you kind of summarize maybe 3 to 5 actionable steps moving forward?
Okay. All right. I have to think, but I'm going to.
No, you can't. No worries.
Right away. Well, the first one we talked about, I think thinking about what are some of your challenges, or if you could wave your magic wand, what would you want to change, right? And it's not just like lose X amount of weight, or, you know, it's really like something that would make your life incredibly, like feel like you are more at ease. What is it, you know? And it usually comes from a deep place. So what do you want to change? And then how can you feel, like, what can you do to feel more connected to your body? Can you do something to get quieter, to listen? So for me, that yoga, like, changed my whole relationship with food and cooking. What can you do to reconnect back to yourself? Because we've lost that, like, inner guidance. You know, we've lost that connection along the way. So do something. And this even can be as simple as starting every day quiet, connected to yourself. So you kind of run your day just having that moment instead of like getting up and reading the emails and rushing around. Just 5 minutes. Like, even if you have kids, you can still do this 5 minutes where you're like, this is my intention. This is what I want for the day. And just feeling really connected. And I think that really like carries you through, you know, throughout the day. I'm sure you'll have moments, but so find ways to connect. So am I at 3?
Yes.
also really believe in not being reactive to food, but choosing food from a more proactive place. Okay, so that might sound very vague, so I'll give you an example. That made me feel, right? So coffee made me feel jittery, or I felt sleepy. Well, how do you ask yourself, reverse it? How do I want to feel? So I want to feel energized. Okay, so what can you make for breakfast? Is that a smoothie that's going to give you energy, you know, or is it, you know, having a bowl of oatmeal with some nut butter and lots of, you know, different like fresh berries on top, and you'll feel energized for hours. So like, you know how, what food does to you, but I think coming from that place, how do I want to feel, and then eating accordingly is huge, because it's almost like, you know, you take that power back. And then I think the last one is just to always have compassion for yourself, no matter what. Life happens. We all go on the vacations, have a girls' night out, you know, get off track. And so that is not doom. That just means, okay, you know, my life got in the way, but there's always tomorrow or the next meal. And just having an attitude that, like, you evolved, your food story evolved, your relationship with your body evolved, just get right back up, but do it through kindness and compassion for yourself.
So I love that. So for everybody out there, that's great. So for everybody out there, I would say know your food story, understand the noise that accompanies that food story, write it down. I'm a big believer in writing and getting stuff out of your head and putting it down on paper. I wish more of our children were doing that too. But anyhow, really know your food story, write it out, understand that you're dynamic, changing, that you're on a continuum. And I agree. Have some compassion for yourself. Elise, if anyone wants to get in touch with you or get a hold of you, what is the best way to do that?
Okay. So I have about to have a newly launched website. Maybe it'll be launched by the time this airs. It's my name, elisenewsells.com. My social media, I show up every day on Instagram at Kale and Chocolate. And then my podcast, Once Upon a Food Story, shares these really interesting deep conversations so we can all connect to our stories through hearing the stories of the industry leaders and experts of struggle to strength. And they're amazing. I cannot wait to share them all. And I'd love to have you, Dr. Taz, on my podcast.
Yes, I would love to. I have lots of food stories. I don't know if you have enough time for all of them. But thank you so much for joining us today. I absolutely enjoyed it. And for everybody else out there, thank you for listening to this episode of Superwoman Wellness. If you have questions about today's show, connect with me on Instagram or Facebook at Dr. Taz MD. And remember that Superwoman Wellness is also on Spotify, so you can rate and review and share it with your friends. Until next time.